Today I want us to dig in a bit more deeply and specifically to the ways that God speaks to us and that we need to listen to God. And we're going to focus on Jesus. And the reason we're going to focus on Jesus is because of these things. In John chapter 5, verse 19, it says, Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. And in John chapter 8, verse 28, it says, so Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. And so if we are thinking about how do we listen to God, Jesus is the expert on listening to the Father. And so we could expect that if we want to learn how to listen to God or the ways it happens, then we should look at Jesus. And more than that, if in fact he was a good teacher, we should then expect that in the rest of the New Testament, we find some examples of Jesus' followers listening to God in the same or similar ways. And then if it's also true that people listen to God speaks and people hear God today, then also there should be some examples in our lives of that happening as well. So it's not just a theoretical thing, it's not just a thing that happened in the past, but it's a thing that happens now. And hopefully over the next few minutes, I'm going to share some of the examples of how Jesus heard from the Father, how some people in the New Testament heard from the Father, and then some examples of how I and others in this church over recent times have heard from God. And when we do that, we're in no way trying to equate ourselves with Jesus or even some of the great people of the New Testament. All we're trying to do is draw some lines that what we see in the Bible, we need to take seriously as ways that people hear from God. And it's not necessarily to the same extent or the same importance when in terms of New Testament compared to us, but it is for us and it is real. And I'm going to start with some things that we don't necessarily normally see very much. And this one is in, the first one is in Luke chapter 9, verse 30. And this is where Jesus takes a few disciples up onto the mount and he's transfigured before them. And in Luke chapter 9, verse 30, it says, two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. Now, I've never had a vision or the appearance of Moses or Elijah. Has anybody here had that? But it did happen to Paul. So when he was in what is modern-day Turkey, he had a vision during the night, a dream or a vision of a man from Macedonia calling him to come over to there. And so there are stories, and you can find them, in Christian life today where people have these strong visions that happen sometimes in dreams, sometimes while they're awake. That's not something that has regularly happened to me. So that's the first example. The second example is from Luke chapter 3, verse 22, and it's also in a number of the other Gospels, at Jesus' baptism. When Jesus is baptized, there is an audible voice from heaven. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And that happened also to people in the New Testament as well. It happened to Paul in particular when he was on the road to Damascus. It was a blinding light, and then he heard Jesus from heaven say, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And again, I don't think I've ever heard the audible voice of God. Maybe some people here have. That's a bit more common than people seeing dramatic visions of Moses and Elijah. But I do remember one time where I was thinking about the Bible and these thoughts came into my mind so strongly and so unexpectedly that it was almost like I heard it. And I was in the throne room, and not the spiritual throne room, the other throne room. I was thinking about the book of Numbers and just wrestling with what some of it was about. And God, it was like this strong thought came into my mind, and it was different to my own thoughts, and it was not something I'd thought before, an insight and understanding into some particular things that have been going on in the book of Numbers, and that's a separate sermon. But so that God spoke to Jesus in audible voice, spoke to Paul in audible voice, again speaks to people in audible voices today. But for me, that has never happened, but I have had this sense of this strong thought coming from God that was different to my own train of thought. We could dig into a lot of if what we read at the beginning in John chapter 5 and John chapter 8, that Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing and said what he saw the Father heard the Father saying, then all of Jesus' words that he speaks are communication from God. And so a lot of his teaching is that you find in the Sermon on the Mount or in parables or wherever else are the things that he's heard from the Father and he's telling people. And if we're going to think about what God might be speaking to us about, the sorts of things that we can expect God to speak to us about, we can expect that they'll have the very similar content to the Gospels. You know, sometimes when you're trying to figure out or learn a new language, and you might, sometimes there's a field that they, or an area of life that they focus on for a bit. So you might start learning all the words about meal times, you know, about dessert and a main course and about knife and a fork and soup and all those sorts of things, so that they're words that are connected with an area, and so you have some sense of framework to try and figure them out and to try and remember them. And one of the areas that God's going to speak to us is in the area of our character. And it's always going to be consistent with the scriptures. And so if you begin to have some thoughts in your mind that sort of cut across your normal everyday thinking, that talk about not being angry and being generous and seeking first the kingdom of God and loving your neighbour and on with the same words that Jesus used, you can be pretty confident that that's God. And if it isn't God, it's you remembering something about God, and so that's okay, that's cool. But as we move as a church into a new season of missional engagement, I just want to look at another aspect of that. And that is that God speaks to us about our character, but he also speaks to us about what he wants us to do, what mission he wants us to be engaged in. And so as we look at these next few examples, most of them are actually tied around doing something with God or doing something for God. And as we go into this new season of missional engagement, it's not just a good idea we're thinking up ourselves. It's not just a thing, oh, we should do this because that's what we should do. No, we're doing this because this is what God is about. And God is about going on a mission into the world to bring people to bring people good news, to bring blessing to their life, and to help them to know God. And so, unsurprisingly, one of the ways that God spoke to Jesus and to people in the New Testament and to us is through the Scriptures. And at the very beginning, near the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, he's in Nazareth in the synagogue. And he uses a scripture that highlights what God has said to him about who he is and what he's doing. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he quotes from the book from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom from the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." And so unsurprisingly, some of the ways that God spoke to Jesus was through the scriptures. And this happened as well in the for Jesus' followers in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, at the day of Pentecost, the Spirit comes, there's tongues of fire, there's people speaking in languages that they didn't learn. It's all pretty weird and crazy. And Peter gets up and he says, this is what was spoken about by the prophet Joel. And this is in Acts chapter 2, verse 17. And he quotes an Old Testament passage to explain what's going on in the mission of God. Jesus used a passage of Scripture to talk about his mission. Here, Peter uses an Old Testament passage to explain to people what's going on in terms of God's mission. And this is like when we're doing, sometimes I think that happens for us when we're reading the Bible on a daily or weekly or occasional basis. You know, that's always an area of guilt for people. But when you just grasp it, you know, if I read the Bible, I get a chance to hear God more regularly. That might inspire us and get us out of a legalism and into a, I want to do this, or I get to do this. And so last year, there's a couple of verses that stuck out to me. I can't remember in the context that I came across them, but one was in the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and this is about the whole idea of us living life as Christians and as a church together. He who called you is faithful, and he will do it. And at the end of the book of Hebrews, there's a verse that says, may God bless you with every good thing for doing his will. And these are verses that have stuck with me and God's spoken to me about, that I can rely on him, that he's going to do it. As we make ourselves available, as I make myself available, God will do it. And one of the outworkings of that for us as a family was moving to the area. We couldn't make that happen, but God made that happen. And God spoke to us about, spoke to me by highlighting that scripture to me, he who has called you is faithful, and he will do it. As we go into a season of missional engagement, we need to remember that. That he who called us is faithful, and he will do it. Luke chapter 6, another way that God spoke to Jesus, and the way that God speaks to us. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, who he also designated as apostles. Now, my inference here is that what Jesus was praying about on the night was, who is he going to call to be those closest to him? Who is he going to call to be with him to do ministry, which they then went down on the plain to do in the rest of Luke chapter 6? And so it's in the context of a prayer time that he heard the Father. And unsurprisingly, we also find that happening in the New Testament as well. And again, in the book of Acts, it's Acts chapter 13, verse 2. And some people had become Christians in Antioch, and Barnabas had gone and got Saul, and he'd taken him to Antioch, and they'd been teaching and encouraging these people. Basically the first time that large numbers of Gentiles, non-Jewish people, had become followers of Jesus. And it says in chapter 13, verse 2, while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. It was in the context of a prayer time that they heard God the Father speak to them. Jesus heard the Father speak to them about who the 12 should be. That church in Antioch heard from God the Father about who they should send out in mission. And this, again, is not usually a booming voice. It's not usually a vision. But it's just as you pray, some thoughts solidify in your mind. And if you're praying by yourself, it can happen. Or if you're praying in a group, some people begin to think, share. So this is a thought that's come to me. What do you think? And then someone else in the group says, yeah, actually, I think that's right too. And there's a sense of solidifying a thought in your mind is the way it usually works. 2 years ago, I was down near Gels Park and on a couple of hours on a walk to go and pray and walk. And I was praying about a bunch of different things and sometimes not praying much about anything, just trying to be with God. And it was during that time that a thought solidified in my mind that we as Stonington Baptist Church at the time should think about talking in detail to Sindel and Chadston people about doing something here. And so that's what, during a time of prayer, a thought crystallised. And that's often a way that God can speak to us. And so as we go into a time of missional engagement, when we go into times of prayer, we can begin to expect that, not necessarily every time, but sometimes that thoughts will crystallise and it will become a solid thing that we need to do. Now, we always need to check it with other people and all that sort of thing, but that's a way that it does happen. It happened previously a number of years ago, for those of you who were part of Stonington, there's a guy called Fu, who was a Chinese student, who became a Christian in Australia. And actually, just recently, he sent me from China a bunch of English-Chinese Bibles and were able to give some to Ray and Maz for also for International Nights. So I was on Skype with Fu a couple of weeks ago, and he just wanted to give some stuff to our church and said, what can I give? And I said, well, this would be helpful, and it arrived just at the right time for everything. Total sidebar, Fu's going to be a dad in about 2 months. So there you go. So now there'll be good excuses for more people to go and visit Fu in China. There you go. But that's a total off the track. But I was in a prayer meeting, and a couple of times God had prompted me in the context of a prayer meeting that I needed to talk to Fu about doing some stuff with international students. And we ended up doing that, and Anna and a whole bunch of other people became Christians as a result of that. That was back in 2010, 2011. So the way God speaks to Jesus is in the context of prayer about mission. He spoke to Saul and Barnabas and the church in Antioch about it, and it's happened in some ways in my life and maybe in your life as well. Sometimes it's not a vision. Sometimes it's not a voice from heaven. Sometimes it's not scripture. Sometimes it's not prayer in the prayer time, but it's like a compelling of the Spirit. After Jesus' baptism, Jesus went out into the desert for 40 days. And in Mark's version of it, in Mark chapter 1, verse 12, it says, he was compelled by the Spirit, or sent by the Spirit out into the desert. It's a bit softer words in Luke and in Matthew. He was led by the Spirit. But sometimes the God speaks to us not so much in words or whatever it is, but I just know I need to go in this direction. I just know I need to go there. And one of the examples of that is in Acts chapter 20, verse 22. And Paul had been doing, this is on his, I think, his third missionary journey. He'd been in Corinth for a while, and he'd come back, and he was just saying he'd sort of passed nearby Ephesus, and the leaders from Ephesus had come down to meet with him. And he explained about what he had been doing with them. And in verse 22 it says this, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me about things." But there's a sense of, I just need to go there. And so that happened for Paul, and it happened for Jesus. Now, this compelling need to, I need to go there. Now, the compulsions come from lots of different sources, right? They can come from our desire for pizza, and so we can be compelled to go somewhere and get pizza. You know, they can come from lots of different places, but they can also come from God. And over time and by experience, we can begin to discern the times that they are actually from God. And how do we do that? Firstly, is it something that God will be wanting us to do in mission or whatever else? Well, that's likely to be from God. If it's a compulsion to go and steal something, that's not going to be from God, right? That's going to be from somewhere else. But if it's to go and share God, about God with someone or whatever else, then we can expect that's probably from God. And we can discern over time that this is something I should do. And it's something I've shared various times that, about 7 years ago now? It would have been about this time 7 years ago where one day I felt compelled to go to Kurong Bookshop. And that's where I came across the 3DM stuff and life shapes and all that sort of thing has been a part of the journey for us as a church and combined church for the last 7 years. And so for me it was this sense of not go to Kurong, David. There was no flashing lights. It was just a compulsion. I need to go to Kurong. And so I go and do that. And then a few weeks later, I find Mike Green book, and a few weeks later, the same sense, the same compulsion. I haven't had that same compulsion since to go back to Kurong. But I had that. So God speaks to us through that as well. Sometimes God wants us to go to a certain place. And it's just in some ways a knowing that we have to go somewhere. And in John chapter 4, at the beginning of chapter 4, it says this in verse 4, talking about Jesus, because he had been down near Jerusalem in Judea, down in the southern part of what is modern-day Israel, and he was going up towards Galilee. And it says in verse 4, "Now he had to go through Samaria." And the thing is, he didn't have to go through Samaria. In fact, most of the people going from Judea bypassed Samaria. They went up the Jordan Valley and they got to Galilee. But this time it says Jesus had to go to Samaria. And again, there's a sense that this is a place he needed to go to. And sometimes when God speaks to us, he directs us to go to certain places. And this also happened in the rest of the New Testament with a guy called Philip in Acts chapter 8. Verse 26, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And then in verse 29 it says, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. And so when God the Father was speaking to Jesus, he communicated to Jesus about a place he needed to go. When Philip was being an evangelist, God spoke to him about the place that he needed to go. And I remember a number of years ago when we were first trying to do this missional community stuff up at Stonington Baptist, there was one Sunday morning service and Chris had a picture for the Notices who are not here because they're still away on holidays. But them and some other people were having a gathering at their place. It was called Soul Food at the time. And the picture was of someone near a train station sitting on a bench near a train station. And so, and they were having their Soul Food thing directly after the service that day. They were having a meal together. And so they figured that it probably was going to be, that station was Blackburn Station, which is near where they lived. And so they and the Northfields, who were with them at the time, got in their cars and they were driving in convoy to Blackburn Station to see if they could find a person sitting on a bench. And they were having this argument between themselves. If it's a guy, the guys have got to go and speak to them. If it's a lady, the ladies have got to go and speak to them. And I think it ended up being a lady. And so Bronwyn and Susie got out and spoke to the person. They couldn't stay, but they had a God conversation. And that's one of the examples from the life of Stonington Baptist that speaks to a similar sort of thing. That if we are hearing from God, particularly in the context of mission, sometimes it'll be a thought, we need to go to this place. In this context, it was a picture that Chris had, that she shared with them, and they said, okay, yeah, we discern this is the right thing for us to go and do. A friend of ours, Chris and mine, by the name of Sue, she often gets these things. I need to ring this person. I need to go to that place. Not necessarily understanding why they need to go there or what will happen when they get there, but they just need to go to that place. So God speaks through visions. God speaks through an audible voice. God speaks through scripture. God speaks through prayer time. God speaks through a sense of compulsion. Sometimes God speaks about needing to go to a certain place. Sometimes God also speaks through conversation. And we see this again, it's recorded in various of the Gospels when Jesus is taking the disciples away with him up to the north. And it's probably best in the Matthew version. Let me just click to the Matthew version. And he initiates a conversation with him. Who do people say that I am? Who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John, and some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah. But what about you? Who do you say I am? And then Simon Peter answers, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. When Peter was just speaking that sentence, he probably had no idea that he was hearing from God. He was just having a conversation with Jesus. And it's in that conversation together that they heard God. And so sometimes, if that's the way that God sometimes speaks, we should expect to see that somewhere else in the New Testament. And in fact, we do. And it's in Acts chapter 15. And we're doing a lot of reference to Acts because that records a lot of the early events in the church. And there had been this big debate and contention rise up in the early church about Gentiles who became followers of Jesus, how Jewish did they need to be? Did they need to be circumcised? Did they need to eat certain sorts of food? All those sorts of things. It was a great bone of contention. And so Paul and Barnabas were sent down to Jerusalem. There was a big council and they all got together and they had a conversation about it. And Paul and Barnabas talked about what they'd done and what they'd seen God do and all those sorts of things. And they came to a decision, and then they wrote a letter and they sent it out to the churches. And it says in chapter 15, verse 27, as part of the letter that they had written, therefore we are sending Judas and Silas to confirm by word of mouth what we are writing. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. You are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat strangled by animals, etc. And this is in the context of mission. How much do you have to do? And so it was in the conversation that they heard God. We were having a conversation at church council last year about what is the way that might help Chris and me and our family move closer to the area. And there's a few different options that we talked about. And it was in the middle of that conversation that a consensus was arisen and this idea of the sort of house that would be good for David and Chris to be in. And it wasn't from a prayer meeting, it wasn't from the scripture, it wasn't from an audible voice, but it was in the midst of a conversation that it was going to be a house that was going to be rented, a house that was going to be really good for having gatherings downstairs and place for us to live upstairs. And if, for those of you who have been to our house, we've been in a house exactly like that, that God has done. And so sometimes we listen to God in the consensus from conversation. So when we read the Gospels, when we read what's happening in them, we don't just need to look for the content, what Jesus did, what Jesus said. But if we also believe that Jesus is the way, the truth and the life, not just the truth and the life, but the way, the truth and the life, we need to take note of the way he did life, the way he did mission, the way he listened to the Father. And hopefully this morning you'll have seen that as we look carefully at some different ways that Jesus heard the Father, they were mirrored in the New Testament in ways people listened to God. And it was also mirrored, and we have some contemporary examples in our lives that we've shared as well this morning. So we can be confident that it's possible to hear from God in the context of mission. It doesn't just happen in one way. It happens in a variety of ways. And if you aren't used to hearing from God, then just be open to it. Have a go. And talk with some people who you think maybe are better at hearing from God than you. This is what I'm thinking God might be saying. And saying, what do you think about it? Do you think I'm on the right track or am I totally off track? Just like if you're learning a foreign language, you speak to someone, is this the right word for that thing on the table? Is this the right way to pronounce it? You talk with someone who knows more about it. And if we're trying to listen to God, particularly in the context of mission, and you want to grow in it and you're not sure, have a go, listen to God. Be open to those ways, supernatural vision, audible voice, strong thought in your mind, from a prayer meeting, through scripture, through a compulsion or a sense I need to go in a certain direction or a certain place, or through a conversation. Say, oh, maybe God's speaking to us in that. Then check it out with some other people. See what happens as a result of following it through. So I'm confident that we heard God about the house because of what happened this year. I'm confident that that I heard God about doing stuff with food because of what happened with the international students. I'm confident that I heard God about that we should investigate the partnership here because of what's come out of that in the last 2 years. And so then looking back, I think this was God. Then the way it's worked out, yes, I'm confident it was God. And as we go into a season of mission, you might like to think about two questions. God, speak to me about who am I sent to? Who are the people in my life you want me to hang out with, spend some time with that don't yet know God? And God, who do you want me to do that with? Because God never sends us on mission alone. And just asking God those two questions can be a place where you can begin to hear God in missional direction. It might be through a dream, it might be through consensus, it might be in any of the ways that we've talked about this morning. But when we go on mission, it's not our thing, it's God's thing. And God's the expert at it, and we should expect and rely on God's leading and direction. So we're just going to pause for a moment. I'm going to invite you to ask God to please speak to me about something. I'm going to encourage you that it would be something about to do with mission, but there might be some other burning issue in your life. It might be a decision you have to make. It might be a difficult circumstance. Whatever else it might be, feel free to talk to God about that. God, I just need your wisdom. Please give me some wisdom and direction about this. Help me to hear you. Help me to grow in hearing you. And be open to one of the wide variety of ways that God spoke to Jesus, God spoke to the first Christians, and that God speaks to us today. So let's just pray and I guess we invite you to quietly do that for a few moments. And then expect over the next hours and days and weeks that you would hear God speaking to you. Let's pray. Thank you that you're real. Not just something from the past, not something just something for other people, but you're a God for us who loves us and knows us and speaks to us. God, we're listening. We want to hear from you. We're inclined to do what you say. Speak to us about who you're sending us to. Help us to hear you about that and any other aspect of life that you want to talk to us about. Help us to get better at discerning your voice. And give us the courage to obey you when we hear you.